Judy, is everyone back, you think?
I believe so. We'll do a roll call, Kelly.
Thank you.
The meeting is again being recorded. We have just returned from executive session. We'll do a roll call to verify that everybody is still on the call and accessible. Dr. King?
Present.
Dr. Bastillo?
Present.
Mr. Leone?
Recused.
Oh, I'm recused, but I'm present.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so sorry. Dr. Cornwall?
Here.
Mr. Greer?
Here.
Mr. Barton?
Here.
Mr. Harris?
Here.
Ms. Cardoza?
Present.
Ms. Crowley?
Here.
Ms. Richardson?
Present.
And I'm Judy Chepius. Thank you. We are returned. Dr. King, back to you.
Thank you. So where when we left off, Mindy had given us a review of case 2228. I'd like to ask Mr. Kempton or Ms. Kent. Ms. Kent, are you representing Mr. Kempton in this case as well?
In the second complaint, yes, I am.
In the 2228?
Yes, and I apologize for not getting something to you earlier, Dr. King. We were in the process of making sure that I didn't have a conflict. And so I didn't want to send a letter until I made sure. And so I've since made sure of that. And so, yes, I'm going to represent him in the second complaint as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Would either of you like to make a brief statement regarding 2228 at this time?
You know, Dr. King, I just would like to make a brief statement on behalf of Mr. Kempton. He and I have sat down, and obviously we would expect the board to be concerned by having a second complaint with similar allegations. He has told me that, let me take my mask off briefly. He has told me that, you know, he recognizes, he has the insight to know that he probably is not educating his patients well enough in advance of getting informed consent before he proceeds. But he wants to be able to, he wants this board, he wants to do everything required of this board to prove and show that he is safe, that he is a safe practitioner, that he's a good practitioner, that he practices within the standard of care. He's already identified some clinical practice, you know, deficiencies aside from the allegations that we're talking about today, which I think is more serious. But I want you to know that he has told me that his goal is at the end of whatever, whenever we're done, you'll be satisfied that he is a safe practitioner. So I would ask the board to accept the consent agreement, expedite the evaluation. He'll get a healthcare professional pursuant to the consent agreement to be with him side by side in the office. And we'll get this in front of the board in a comprehensive manner. That's my request. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kent. I appreciate it. Board members, are there any pieces to discuss or any motions?
Ms. Kent, do you have any objection to the consolidation of these two matters so they can be dealt with on the same track?
No, Mr. Greer, that makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me, too. I move to consolidate case 2228 with case 2131.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's call a vote.
It has been moved and seconded to consolidate case 2228, Stephen Kempton PT, with case 2131, Stephen Kempton PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Members of the board, has everyone had the opportunity to review the ICA offered to Mr. Kempton?
I reviewed the interim consent agreement.
Thanks, Josh.
Anytime.
Are there, then I'd like to make a motion that we approve the interim consent agreement as signed by Mr. Kempton.
Second.
Any discussion? Okay, I'm hearing none, let's call the vote.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the interim consent agreement as drafted in the board's records, in the board's materials. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Recused.
Oh, thank you. I obviously I need something to help me with that. Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you.
So I'm sorry, point of order. As these two cases are consolidated and I have identified potential violations in both cases, some of which are duplicative, it's my understanding that I will adopt all of the potential violations identified in both cases as I finalize this investigation in this newest case. Is
yes,
that the direction the board would like me to take?
Yes, absolutely. That you'll combine them all and fully investigate all of the allegations in the newest complaint and combine those with 2131.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Please.
And speaking of 2131, Mr. Harris, do we need to formally call it, or now that we've consolidated, does everyone know we're talking about it now?
Mr. Greer, Dr. King, members of the board, if we can call that case and then go from there.
Yes, I was just about to do that. So given that we're agendized for an informal hearing at 9:30 for 2131, I'd like to call that case. But I think in light of what we have discussed in our prior motions, I would like to actually make a motion to continue the informal hearing for 2131.
You read my mind. Second.
Any discussion? Thank you. Okay. So hearing no discussion, let's call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded to continue case 2131, Stephen Kempton, PT. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bustillo?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
And I do want to recognize that I know that we do have some of the complainants on the call and had probably prepared statements and we're prepared to answer questions for us. I want to assure them they will have an opportunity to speak with the board in the near future. Okay. Then let's move back to agenda items under 9, complaints and other disciplinary matters. Mindy, do you have a preference? We have JS up next.
I believe we actually have
Cheryl Smith. Sorry.
Yeah, 2207.
Yep, but, sorry.
Excuse me. She had requested a time frame, so she wanted to attend. She just had some patients, and she was hoping to be on the call by about 10:45. So if we have other cases we can put before that, that would be great.
We do. That's fine. Okay, if I forget someone, please remind me to go back up. Then, Mindy, are you prepared for then JS?
Yes, I am.
Okay. All right.
This is a matter requesting whether or not the board wishes to open a complaint on this matter. We received a complaint that alleged JS abandoned his patients that were residing in a skilled nursing facility. According to his supervisor and the complainant, he acknowledged on 6/12/22 that he would be working the next day and would see and treat the scheduled caseload. However, JS texted the next morning and terminated his employment effective immediately. And those patients needed to be moved to other care providers. JS was contacted to provide additional details involving his resignation, and his responses included in your review materials. The board may open a complaint or take no action. But if the board should open a complaint, assistance is requested to identify the potential violations that would be noticed. This case is for your review.
Thank you.
Am I correct that he only worked there 2 weeks before he left?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I would move to not open a complaint.
Or take no action.
I would second that, Josh.
So I've looked. I know there's an abandonment in the nursing practice regulations. Is there even a similar law or requirement among physical therapy that we could even look at?
Mr. Harris, I think we had that conversation. I was looking, grabbing my book.
Mr. Barton, Dr. King, members of the board, there isn't anything expressly on point like there is in other practice acts. We did take a look at the professional ethics. There is a provision that somewhat, touches upon the subject matter, but it is not on point. And that would be, in case you wanted to follow along, it's principle 2.1E. And it's short. If you'd like, I can read it to everybody. Or
yes, please.
It says, in the event the physical therapist or patient terminates the physical therapist-patient relationship while the patient continues to need physical therapy services, the physical therapist should take steps to transfer the care of the patient to another provider.
And Mr. Harris.
No, that's okay. I was just going to add, that is the closest language that we could find that touches upon the issues presented in this case.
And Mr. Barton, I think just thinking this through from those words and this occurrence, for me, that occurs when a therapist has a schedule and they no-show, no-call, no one knows, they're not seeing the patient, they truly abandoned them, whereas it looks like he called in.
Hearing that, I did some pretty extensive review of the records in preparation of the Practice Act in preparation for this too. I'm concerned we don't even have jurisdiction to look at this because it doesn't look to me like it is a violation. So I'd agree with Mr. Greer's motion.
So we do have a motion and a second to take no action. Is there any further discussion or clarification needed?
I agree. For sure. He provided, his emergency situation. And, we can't all control our emergencies. And so I absolutely agree with taking no action.
Yeah, I would agree as well. And, from what Mr. Harris read within the code of ethics, he had already given notice, it seems like, at that point. So really the care should have already been transferred over to or in preparation to be transferred over anyway. So I think it's that one's irrelevant anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
Any other discussion? And if none, Judy, do you mind calling the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to take no action in case JS. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, board members, for your guidance on this one.
Yes. Thanks, Mindy. All right. So we can either move to G, Ms. William Clough, DO, or 1839 Josh Bitten. Do you have a preference, Mindy, time-wise?
No, I'll go ahead with G. I think just go down through the in order. Mm-hmm. This is also another one that has some nuances to it that I'm seeking the board's direction. That's whether or not to open a complaint. This complaint was filed by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Arizona, who had audited the records of Dr. Clough, both the billing and the medical record. They found that Dr. Clough, DO, was supervising medical assistants who were performing physical therapy services and documenting treatment as physio slash manual therapy. And then they were billing the treatment using the typical CPT codes that physical therapists use. It's called the 97,000 series of CPT codes. And there was some indication that Dr. Clough was offsite when the treatment was occurring. But the issues in this preliminary review were that we had unlicensed personnel providing, documenting, and billing for physical therapy services when no licensed physical therapist was on site. There may be a potential that that service was being misrepresented to patients as physiotherapy. And the advertising was, I did confirm that the clinic was advertising physiotherapy. And I did confirm that the medical records contain the words physio slash manual therapy. I contacted the CEO, the owner of the clinic, and informed him of the nature of the complaint. He responded back several weeks later saying they had corrected all of the company's advertising and the forms to remove any reference to physical therapy or physiotherapy. And that he believed that there was no intent to misrepresent to the public or patients that they were providing physiotherapy services. I did go in and confirm that the website no longer contains references to PT and physiotherapy. And I understand that we don't have jurisdiction over Dr. Clough, but as he was supervising folks that appeared to be providing physiotherapy services, it's brought before you to determine if there's any action you wish to take against those unlicensed personnel who were potentially providing physical therapy services, and or consider referring the matter to the Board of Osteopathic Examiners. You could take no action or you could consider other actions. This case is for your review.
Well, we don't have jurisdiction over the MAs, but we, it's what I'm hearing and what I read. It sounds like there's medical services being provided to patients without the oversight of a physician or a DO or any type of supervising licensed practitioner, even in the building, but yet signing the notes. Is that summarizing it? Okay.
Yes.
Do we have the authority or can, to refer this complaint from the insurance company to the chiropractic board since it's a chiropractic office?
I think it would be against the individual practitioner, Dr. Clough, as a DO.
Okay.
I believe I could be correct.
It'd be the medical board, wouldn't it?
Dr. King, members of the board, there is a osteopathic board of medicine. So since Dr. Clough is a DO, if you were inclined to refer the matter to them, I think that would be the appropriate agency.
Okay, to the DO board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would it be possible and to refer this to, insurance companies, including Medicare, Medicaid?
To like the OIG to look at it, you mean?
So, I mean, if this is true and he treated Medicare patients, then that's Medicare fraud.
Well, the complaint came from an insurance company.
Well, I'm assuming that there are other insurance companies that they bill.
There is a big difference between Blue Cross Blue Shield and Medicare, too.
Yeah.
And I do believe that the fraud and abuse investigator for Blue Cross Blue Shield is present, Mr. Niehaus. He is the complainant.
Unknown caller.
Thank you, Mindy. Does anyone have any questions for the fraud and abuse investigator? I do. So when you come across something like this, is it maintained within your particular
company, or when you find something like this, is this a complaint shared more broadly than the physical therapy board? Have you already shared this complaint with other entities who may be involved?
It looks like Mr. Niehaus might be muted.
Oh. I see a note from him.
Yeah. I just am seeing that as well. Oh, looks like he can't turn on his audio or his microphone.
But he did leave a message that, yes, they do report to other agencies.
Well, I'm good if those other agencies include Medicare.
Mr. Niehaus, you can type in the chat and we can read it out loud for record. Did you report this or has it been reported to Medicare? He said he does not believe
Hello?
So. Oh, hi.
No.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes. You can't. I'm sorry. My name is Michael Fisher Marinara. I'm the senior manager for the Special Investigations Unit with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Dale's one of my investigators. I'm not sure. I guess he's having difficulty getting them muted. But yes, we do report these findings depending on the situation. We would report them to Medicare, Medicaid, the Department of Insurance. In some cases, depending on the situation, we may refer cases to the AG's office or even the FBI. So we do report these type of situations out to other agencies.
Thank you. That makes me feel better. So I would then wonder if we could forward this complaint then to the DO board, since we don't really have any jurisdiction over.
Is that a motion or is that a?
I'm going to make it a motion. Okay. I move. Yeah, thank you. Any discussion or other suggestions?
Did we get a second?
Yes, Josh Greer seconded.
Thank you.
I think it sounds appropriate. I would agree.
Okay. Then, Trudy, do you mind calling the vote?
It has been moved and seconded to refer this case against William Clough, DO, Pain and Wellness of Arizona, to the Arizona Board of Osteopathic Examiners. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for making us aware of it. We are at agenda item number 9H, case 1839, Josh Bitten.
This case summary will be provided by Ms. Chepius.
Thank you.
In case 1839, we received a request for termination of monitoring from Mr. Bitten through his attorney, Mr. Williams. And we also have received the 6 monthly monitoring reports from affiliated monitors. The sixth report was attached to your materials for this board, as well as an outline of Mr. Bitten's compliance to date. So this case is before you for consideration.
Thank you, Judy. And the updated information, it looks like we saw an improvement in the documentation and monitoring. The only pieces that haven't been met are the civil penalty or the penalty. Is that correct?
Of the terms associated with the order.
With the board order.
Consent agreement, yes.
So everything's been met except for the funding.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then for us then to discuss and potentially take action on is just to discontinue the requirement for monitoring.
Yes, you have the option either to continue it based on the report and the outline of the information or extend it.
Okay. Board, what are your thoughts?
Terminate or extend it.
Go ahead, Dr. Vestia.
So he stays on probation then until he pays the fines as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Just to be clear, so the question for the board is just the monitoring, right? We're not assessing whether or not we're going to remove, change the fine?
Right. It's just monitoring.
Okay.
Okay.
I can make a motion.
Thank you.
I move that we end the monitoring with as part of this case.
Second.
Okay. So discontinuing the monitoring is part of the board order, and he'll stay on probation until all things are met, including the fine.
Yes.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's call the vote.
And I need to correct myself for the record. I do believe I mistakenly referred to Mr. Bitten's attorney as Mr. Williams. It's actually Mr. Colin Bell is his attorney. It has been moved and seconded to terminate the requirement for monitoring for case 1839, Joshua Bitten. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Okay, so we're trying to wait until 10:30 for Ms. Smith. I think we've covered pretty much everything else. So would it be okay to go into some of the board business?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, excellent. All right. Josh, you feel like 10 minutes is enough to give us a summary of the delegate summary from the Leadership Issues Forum meeting in Washington, D.C. last weekend?
I think it's plenty of time. I, along with Dr. King and Ms. Chepius, attended the Leaders Issues Forum this past weekend in Alexandria, Virginia, put on by the FSBPT. That was put on at no charge to the board. Everything was paid for by the FSBPT. It's an annual meeting. It's the first time I attended in person. I think I did attend last year via Zoom. Over the 2 days that we spent, Saturday and Sunday, we addressed countless issues. A couple highlights that I just think that I wrote down to discuss. One is the availability of grant money provided by the FSBPT. I don't know what are the circumstances under which we could accept grant money. We'd have to work with our staff to prepare that, but there are, I'm not saying limitless grants, but if anything that we could probably think of that we'd like to use to advance our board, modernize our board, would likely be received favorably by the FSBPT. There was lots of discussion of potential, and not necessarily in our jurisdiction, but attempts to uniform the practice throughout the country through the Model Practice Act. We have adopted a version of the Model Practice Act and comparing our statute to numerous other board statutes. We are right in the mainstream of the Model Practice Act. Our statutes are substantially similar to numerous other jurisdictions. The FSBPT is very concerned and not concerned, interested in data collection and have repeatedly encouraged other jurisdictions to collect data. Dr. King and Ms. Chappius did give a presentation on the data that we collect as part of our renewal. Just a note. I think those are kind of the highlights of what I noticed. This meeting is largely prepping the delegates for the October annual meeting, which this year is located in California, so not nearly as far. But any questions? I don't know if we're agendized for questions. Dr. King, Ms. Chippius, do you want to provide any additional thoughts on it?
Dr. King, go ahead if you have any. You can go first.
I think some of the pieces that were talked about that struck me were just the board's role in how to educate the public as part of our mission to protect the public around patient rights when receiving physical therapy services. I think that was a really impactful conversation. How's the board's website used as a resource for patients, potentially prior to having to come to the website to look for complaints? And so how do we help educate the public around physical therapy practice and their rights was a very good discussion.
And just to clarify, with respect to the grant money, I agree with Mr. Greer that we could probably put forth ideas. The grant was originally set up according to the original communications that the Federation had shared with the boards to facilitate data movement. So automate it as opposed to requiring people to upload, which we do currently. We provide a weekly upload. Currently, we seek information on, you know, compact holders. We do all of that on a weekly basis. When we approve licenses, we inform the FSBPT, all of that kind of stuff to help keep their data up to date. So the grants are in that vein. Originally, that's not to say that that's where they will stop at all, but that's where they were originally. We have, as a staff, been discussing those items with FSBPT. I'm all for free money, but right now, what our limiting factor on that component is because we are in between two systems. So we're in the process of initiating the new licensing system. So developing those interfaces right now with our existing system that's going away in a matter of months, we have to wait till we're on the new system. So I'm trying to work with them. I've discussed with who I can thus far to say, you know what, we want some of that free money, but it's going to be a little bit of time before we can actually use it. So that's all in process. But overall, I think it was a really good meeting. They do a lot of great things, allowing chances to network. And I think that's really a benefit of going to those meetings. So it was beneficial. And I'm glad to hear that both Mr. Greer and Dr. King found it to be beneficial as well.
Mm-hmm. And one key takeaway, and I really probably should have started with this, I walked away with a great appreciation for the professionalism of our staff. We have fantastic staff. We probably need two more full-time equivalents to get everything done. But, you know, everyone on our staff, no complaints at all. Everyone's just fantastic. So.
Thank you, Josh.
You're welcome. Yeah. You may be getting calls from other jurisdictions because I can't remember who it is, but they're running into some kind of, licensing snafu, similar to the licensing apocalypse of 2018. Mm. And I gave them Veronica and Monica's names. So you might be getting some calls.
As long as they're not recruiting calls, we're good. If they're recruiting calls, we will be monitoring your phones and your conversations.
I think the call is, hey, will you come help us process 3,000 applications by hand? I don't know how attractive of a recruiting call that is.
Been there, done that, got the t-shirt.
I know, that's why I get
so true. Oh my gosh. Never, let's never go back there again. I was surprised to hear how many jurisdictions are still paper-based, to be honest with you. It was really quite something.
Right.
Yeah. So we are super trendy.
True. Mm-hmm. And we have to remind Judy not to commit to any volunteer work.
She didn't. She's very good. She didn't.
I held them all at bay. I said, not yet.
Nice.
She was recruited too, but she said no. She was very good.
Well, we knew that was coming, so we kind of mentally prepared her, try to tell her to practice saying no.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you, Josh, for that summary. Appreciate it. Okay, we are at 10:30. Let's go back, if everyone's okay, to 2207 Cheryl Smith. Is Cheryl on the – is Ms. Smith on the line?
Hi. Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. King, just before we call that case, a quick point of order for Mindy. Mindy, I think we're getting some messages regarding cases that I think are either passed or we're through with. If you could address that, I think that'd be helpful for the folks who may be waiting for cases that are already through.
Yes. MK has made a message, yes, that case 2220 against John Barnes has already been adjudicated. Mm-hmm. And after the meeting, I'm sure Ms. Richardson will be in contact.
I didn't want to speak out of turn, but I suspected that was the case and didn't want
yeah.
to.
Yeah. Thank
yes,
you.
And just for the record, in the chat feature, MK from that case against Mr. Barnes 2220 was inquiring as to whether the case was still being heard or not. So we just wanted to clarify that case has been adjudicated. Staff will follow up and we are on to other cases.
Thanks for monitoring that chat, Josh.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
2207, Ms.
Yeah,
Smith?
Mm-hmm, initial review.
Okay. This is a continuation of an initial review.
Okay.
The original complaint was opened because Ms. Smith failed to timely report DUI charges while she was a resident in Missouri. She was actively licensed in Arizona at the time of her arrest and charges. So we opened the complaint in December of 21. You did an initial review in March of 22, and you voted to continue the investigation pending the final court judgment and sentence. That judgment and sentence occurred July 7th, 2022, which you have in your review materials. The board may consider dismissing this case or taking further action. This case is for your review.
Thank you. Ms. Smith, would you like to make an opening statement or a brief overview of your case?
I think since that meeting, we were kind of waiting to see what the courts decided. It's been 2.5 years, and because of COVID, it got drawn out. Mm-hmm. I got the plea, the prosecutor's recommendation, which was the suspended imposition of sentence. And that required the 40 hours of community service, the victim impact panel, the SATOP in the community service. And I completed all of those actually before I went before the judge to make sure I took care of those. So now at this point, I'm on what's called a bench probation where I just have to not get a ticket or, you know, agree not to drink and drive. And it's been 2.5 years since that incident. I have not had a sip of alcohol before I get behind the wheel. It was a huge learning experience for me. So that's where we are at this point. And I think the original incident, the Missouri Board of Physical Therapy was the first person I called after an attorney after this incident. And so had I been in Arizona, I would have, it just was out of sight, out of mind. And I think that was just my original comment. So I appreciate, I'm happy to answer any questions and discuss it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Are you practicing in Arizona at this time?
Yeah, so I literally packed a U-Haul on the 6th and drove to court on the 7th and then came straight and came here from there. So I just started a new job here in Tucson.
Okay. And when was the last time you took the jurisprudence exam here?
I got my original licensure when I was a traveler, probably 15 years ago. And I know that was something that they had recommended, and I'm happy to take it, but then they said they had to put a permanent complaint on my record, which I'd prefer not be there.
We're at an initial review, a continued initial review.
Right.
I would move that we issue an advisory letter stating that the licensee should be aware of the provisions of ARS 32-3208, including the need to timely report issues to the board.
Second.
Are there any questions or discussions? So Josh, just for my clarification, an advisory letter, what was your motion actually?
It should issue an advisory letter.
That she should be aware.
Of the provisions of ARS 32-3208.
How would we know if she's aware?
Well, it's an advisory letter.
Okay.
We don't follow up. It's not
reminding her of it.
It's reminding of her.
I won't forget. I promise this.
We can't require her to take the AZ law, but I think it would behoove her to review all statutes and rules governing physical therapy in Arizona, and so as part of that advisory letter. And Josh is right. I mean, we hope that she does those, but we can't make her.
Not without a disciplinary.
Not without action. A discipline.
Right.
Right. Yep. And I don't think this rises to the level of need to have disciplinary. Mm-hmm. In fact, I may even be open to dismissing it. Especially since the Missouri board's already dealt with it. But
is it finalized at the Missouri board yet, Mindy? Have you seen it on the Missouri board?
No, Judy looked, I believe it was last week, and we hadn't seen anything yet.
It doesn't come back to us if the Missouri board takes disciplinary action, does it?
I'll have to defer to Ms. Chepius for that.
If it's, if and when it is reported to the ELDD through the FSBPT, which then reports to the NPDB, if and when that occurs, we will be noticed because Ms. Smith has a license in Arizona.
Okay.
But that's entirely dependent on the actions and timeline of Missouri. Yeah.
Okay.
I do like the idea of an advisory letter because she is currently practicing in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. My initial thought was to dismiss as well, and then Josh bringing that up, I think that's a great idea as well, especially since you noted that, you know, she hasn't taken the jurisprudence in 15 years and she's back practicing here. I think it would be good to send that with a reminder to review the rest of the Practice Act as well.
Agree.
Okay.
Excellent. Okay. Well, if there's no other discussion, then let's take a vote.
It has been moved and seconded to issue an advisory letter to Ms. Smith, informing her, at least outlining the requirements for mandatory reporting, among other statutes and rules affecting her practice. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Bastille?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwell?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. I wish you luck.
Thank you very much.
Yes, you're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, back to agenda 10, Executive Director's Report.
Okay, well, here's the information that you have all been waiting for, especially Dr. Basile. Of course, we are in our renewal system, and I think staff can attest to the fact that renewals are moving fast and furious. At the onset of the renewal season, we had roughly 8,800 licensees who we anticipated who were eligible to renew. Of course, that number changes on a daily basis as we issue new licenses and certifications, as well as people, if they're inactivating or retiring, they're still going to renew. So that is all in process. To date, as of 6 p.m. last night, we had a total received renewals of 3,030. Of those, 2,620 have been approved. So 2,620 have been approved. We have 410 in the submitted state. Some of those are reflective of the first week of renewals before the renewal portal was officially opened on the 5th. The days leading up to that are it's open, but it's sort of in a testing phase. So we know people are going to access it. We know people are going to submit. They're able to do so, but it helps us highlight any system issues. And we did. We found some. Some of you practitioners may have found a gift of a wallet card or two dropped into your inboxes. So at that point, the decision was made to stop the automatic approvals of those that of those renewal applications that don't trigger the need for more review, to prevent those wallet cards from just blatantly going out until we could get that issue resolved. So we did. So we landed at that time with, I believe, upwards of 800 that had to be processed manually. So while those manual first week ones are being processed, we're also processing daily ones. When a renewal is submitted that hits the triggers that need to be reviewed, those have to be reviewed for background questions and whatnot. So staff is working really hard to get those caught up. We're not quite there yet, but we've halved that while maintaining all of the other new and renewal and business entity and telehealth and inactivating and retiring. All of that processing is continuing on in conjunction with these renewals and that first week of group of renewals. So all of that is moving forward. At this point, percentage-wise, we figure we've got 34% of those we anticipated as eligible to renew have submitted thus far. So historically, and Monica or Veronica can back me up, historically, we do see more come through in August than in July, simply because that is the month that's written on their expiration. So I think they clue into that a little more heavily. So we're gearing up. We're anticipating this will continue and grow, in fact. So that's what we've been doing.
Also, anybody that opened a renewal application during that window where they were being submitted and not approved, if they opened one during that time and then they go in now and approve it or finalize it, it will not automatically approve. It will automatically push them into the submitted, so then I have to review manually. Just as an FYI, if somebody asks, you know, I thought it was fixed. It has been fixed, but because they opened it back when there was problems, that glitch is there unless they go in and withdraw and start a new one.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll continue to see some just land and have to be reviewed.
Yeah.
And we'll keep working
through.
Yeah. So anybody have any questions about those? Are you getting questions from your staff or your colleagues? Feel free to send them our way if you do.
Yeah, I've started to receive wallet cards from my staff, you know, with their renewals to update their files. So it seems to be going well for my team anyway. So good.
Good. That's what we like to hear.
And I do have to say that I really, really like these electronic wallet cards versus the paper, because it's saving us tons of time and money, I think. So thanks to Veronica and Judy and everybody that worked on this to make this happen. So it's been nice.
Thank you, everybody.
I do also want to highlight that if you haven't yet, definitely go to our new Arizona PG Board website. It's amazing. So please spend some time perusing around there and familiarizing yourself. It's Judy and the team has just done an amazing job on that website.
Yeah, I love the new format of it. I've been on it quite a bit.
It's great.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, for your colleagues, anybody looking for information, the key to finding information is that resources menu. That's where all of the nuts and bolts can be accessed most easily.
Great. Thank you, Judy. Licenses, certificates, registrations, item 2A, B, C, D. Anything you want to highlight out or just for our information?
That's just for information. As you can see, we typically land somewhere between 40 and 60 based on past months. We were up at 86. So, that's reflective of those that are approved, not the hundreds that are still at some level of process. There's a lot of new licensees in Arizona. That's for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and we have a bunch that just took the July exam. So there's a bunch. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And these new licensees, based on the way the statutes and rules are listed, they will be turning around and renewing, because these licenses are issued with an 8/31/2022 expiration date.
Right.
So if you have on your staff or in your world, if you have any that are new, remind them that they do need to renew.
Yeah, thank you.
And just to clarify on that, because, I mean, we actually have quite a few new grads who have been coming on with us. So the way the statute's written, they still have to get the continuing education at the 20 hours and the 10 hours, even if they are licensed, like, say, you know, right like at this moment in July or, you know, early in August.
The way that the rules are written, if they're licensed in the second year of a competence cycle, of a compliance period, renewal cycle, however you want to term it, if they're licensed in the second year, which is September 1st of 2021 through August 31st of 2022, anytime within that, they've got a prorated amount they need to earn. So a physical therapist will have to earn 10, but they all have to be category A. Mm-hmm. A PTA will have to earn 6, but those all also have to be category A. So really, what the rule does is it drops down the requirement to simply the piece that is category A in most normal 2-year cycles.
Okay, but there's nothing in there that zeroes it out, like for somebody gets licensed, you know, August 1st, they have to figure out how to get those 10 hours.
They may be having earned those already through activities that they've done, you know, attending APTA meetings, things like that. They still get a certificate when they attend. So
okay, that's good. It's good to know. I just want to make sure that I know what to inform a lot of our new grads in case they're not aware of that. So.
I'd be more than happy, Giovanni, after the meeting to have a phone call and kind of clarify.
Yeah, definitely.
All the nuts and bolts.
Awesome.
Are there any things that you would like to add as future agenda items? Yeah. At some point, I'm going to put on here grants for lots of money. Just not yet.
Let's get the system under our feet first.
Yeah. I mean, we did a free money dance.
Yeah.
So, you know, Scott, I'm ready. Okay. Well, I mean, if there is nothing else, I move that we adjourn the meeting.
I would like to see the free money dance.
I have a video. I took a boomerang, so. Yeah, so fun. Is there a second for adjourning?
I'll second.
Thanks, Josh.
It has been moved and seconded to adjourn. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Vecchio?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Cornwall?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes and the meeting is adjourned at 10:49 a.m. I am also stopping the recording at that same time.
Thanks to all of you for your service to the board.